This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode is brought to you by Full Pull Wines.
Now, Molly, are you like me and you like to drink wine, but you don't know much about wine?
Well, sort of.
Well, I think you know more about it than I do. I rely on Full Pull Wines. It is a Northwest boutique wine service where you get on their mailing list absolutely free at fullpullwines.com. And then once a week or so, they send you an email saying, here's some cool wine that we know about, and you can get it at an excellent price.
Mm-hmm. And we went to their warehouse downtown, and I could not believe the variety of wines that they had, and what a cool service it is.
Yeah, it's great stuff that you won't find everywhere. They have, like, they make sparkling wines, especially for list members. You can order as little or as much as you want and pick it up at their warehouse in Seattle or have it shipped to you. It's an amazing service.
Yeah, and you can learn more at fullpullwines.com.
I'm Matthew, and I have to let listeners know that...
I'm not crying from sadness this time, listeners. Don't be scared. I was just looking up some really funny, scary doll pictures on the internet. What's happening, Matthew? Oh, God, and it made me laugh until I cried.
Molly was literally prostrate on the floor.
Okay, anyway, and Matthew has just rearranged our acoustic panels.
Yep.
So I feel like we're ready to start the show now.
Yeah, we're really ready to dig in.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And this episode was suggested by listener Bryn, and it's called Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts, everybody!
Wow, you sound much less excited about Pop-Tarts than you did about scary dolls.
Oh, man, those scary dolls were...
I didn't know your favorite thing was scary dolls, but now I know.
These were especially funny.
They were.
For listeners who listen to our bagel episode, you might know what I mean.
So here's what's going on over here, besides Molly is entering the world of scary dolls and may never extricate herself. So we're taping two episodes today, as we usually do, and our previous one was bagels, and you probably heard that last week, and it was mostly chewing. And I did a little research for the bagel episode, and Molly did the research for today's Pop-Tart episode. And my research on bagels, like a food that goes back centuries and has sustained communities around the world as a staple food, ran to like three lines. And whereas Molly has produced a treatise on Pop-Tarts that I think is going to be published by Oxford University Press.
No, I have a really hard time determining what is relevant information and what is just delightful information that's not really relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I included all of it.
Oh, is this your approach to memoir writing also?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. 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 Look for my third book coming out soon.
It's called Pop-Tarts and Scary Dolls.
The Molly Weisenberg
the
story.
The Molly Weisenberg story.
Okay,
so...
So wait,
this is our
Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
I smell the aroma of that roasting turkey, those mashed potatoes, the
cranberry
sauce.
You know what, Matthew, on a serious note, we're really thankful for you.
For me?
No, I meant our listeners. I was just trying to rope you in on it.
Oh, okay. Yes, absolutely. We're thankful for our listeners. It really, if you like rewind the tape, like hit the back 30 seconds button on your phone, it really sounds like Molly said she was just thankful for me. Right?
Whatever.
On a serious note, okay, anyway. I'm thankful for you too.
Oh, thanks, Matthew.
Boy.
All right. So, hey, let's go down memory lane.
Okay. I didn't like Pop-Tarts as a kid. I remember them being popular. Okay.
Yeah. I remember in particular the frosted ones, because who wouldn't get frosted ones?
Right. But they and are available unfrosted also, right?
Yeah. I don't know anybody who would buy that.
We are going to get some emails.
I can't remember whether I would buy the strawberry ones or the raspberry ones. I think I probably was allowed to buy two boxes total over my entire childhood.
Whoa.
And I preferred to eat them not hot. I preferred to eat them straight out of the package. Mm-hmm. And I never ate them for breakfast. I mean, like Pop-Tarts have always struck me as like a real dessert type thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hence the name tart.
Wait, so you're starting with...
I just started with the strawberry, which, wait. So
hold
you...
On. Hold on. I feel like we should.
But it was in front of me and I wanted to bite it.
Okay.
Oh, Molly's being abstemious.
Can I begin my treatise on Pop-Tarts?
Yes, I would love nothing
more.
Well,
so just to set the mood of this episode, Matthew, I would like to read to you what I found on the Kellogg's webpage about Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
Join us as we celebrate all that is special about Pop-Tarts. The filling, the frosting, and sprinkles that dazzle our taste buds and make us dance with delight.
Oh, wow. That is a very fitting message for Thanksgiving.
Right? Anyway, Pop-Tarts are 53 years old.
And they taste like it, am I right?
And their sales have increased steadily since 1982.
Was this information furnished by the Kellogg's Corporation?
Pop-Tarts is Kellogg's most popular brand in the U.S. Would you have pictured that? I mean, what about those Keebler elves? Wait.
Is that Kellogg's? I don't know. I don't think it is.
I think it's Keebler.
Yeah.
No, but what about all the cereals? What about all the cereals?
Yeah, what about Tony the Tiger?
Wait, is he Kellogg's?
Kellogg's Frosted Flakes, yeah. Oh. Tony the Tiger is Kellogg's. Okay. What about Toucan Sam, which I don't know if that's Kellogg's or not.
I feel pretty
what
sure.
What about Nature Valley granola bars?
Okay.
What about figs?
Anyway, I was genuinely very surprised
does that mean they sell more units of Pop-Tarts? Does it mean people have a higher like brand recognition of Pop-Tarts?
No, I think that it means they sell the most. And let's talk about how Pop-Tarts came to be, because it's truly a delightful story.
It is such an honor to be speaking today with the world's foremost expert on Pop-Tarts.
So, Matthew, the idea for Pop-Tarts came from a dog food invention.
Oh, I'm very excited to talk about this, actually.
And, you know, we're going to talk for a second about the company Post.
Okay.
Not Kellogg, because Post was the one who first developed a toaster pastry. Their pet food division developed a dog food called Gainsburgers.
I remember.
Do you remember the ads for Gainsburgers?
I certainly do, yes.
Yeah, and apparently this was like a novel concept, because the dog food was like semi-moist, but it didn't have to be refrigerated.
Yep, that is so disgusting to think about.
Yes, and I'm reading you a quote from the Chicago Tribune. This was a novel concept because the dog food was semi-moist but didn't have to be refrigerated, a convenience many humans coincidentally sought in their breakfast food.
Is that a coincidence?
Anyway, so basically what they were doing is they were enclosing food in foil to keep it fresh.
Amazing.
So as soon as they figured this out for Gainsburgers, they were like, oh, let's apply this to people food.
Yes.
And anyway, so but then those dummies, they introduced the product to the press in 1963 before
these are some Post people.
These are Post's toaster
like
pastries.
Post-human. Some postmodern people.
They introduced it to the press in 1963, but they weren't yet ready to market it. They were still like tweaking it.
Oh, so they like brought in some reporters and said like taste our pastries.
Well, yeah, they were calling them country squares.
Country squares.
Uh-huh. Anyway, and Post's biggest competitor, Kellogg, learned about this, and they raced to develop them. And Kellogg was done first.
And they like swooped in and ate Post's lunch?
They did, literally.
They drank their milkshake?
They drank their milkshake, Daniel Day-Lewis style. Anyway, they developed Pop-Tarts in 6 months.
Oh, if they make this as a movie, which it should be, Daniel right? Day-Lewis could be in the movie.
Anyway, they initially advertised it with an animated anthropomorphic toaster named Milton. And it was so popular that Kellogg's like sold out and couldn't keep up with demand.
Is this on YouTube? And were they called,
maybe we can find it.
Okay, were they called Pop-Tarts
from day one? No, I'm getting there. Originally, they were...
Wait, can I interrupt with one other thing? Because the animated toaster reminded me of this.
Milton.
Have we told people, and we can post a picture of this too, when we were in Tokyo, and I realized it's going to be insufferable for us from now to eternity talking about
when we
were in Tokyo. There were all of these ads for like a festival put on by our neighborhood's Chamber of Commerce, like come visit the neighborhood, like see all of our great temples and visit our businesses.
And they had this really cute little like cartoon character who was on all of these ads, and he kind of looked like a little slice of bread.
Yes, but then
real chubby.
But his name was Crouton Nakano, Nakano being the neighborhood, and he was an anthropomorphic crouton.
I love that, and that was like the symbol that that the area had chosen for its like
for its event. Yeah.
Amazing.
God,
I wish Seattle would choose like emblems like a crouton. Seattle.
Or a Pop-Tart.
Yeah,
we can't just like steal their crouton.
That's true. Anyway, when Pop-Tarts were first introduced, they were called fruit scones.
Oh, I can see why that didn't fly.
And then it was changed like under the like it was influenced by Andy Warhol's pop art. And they changed it to be called Pop-Tarts. I know. This is real.
Did Andy Warhol know about this?
I don't know. It may be why he's dead now. anyway, but when they first introduced it, it was unfrosted.
Uh-huh.
And it came in four flavors, one of which sounds like an absolute abomination.
Okay.
Strawberry, blueberry.
Oh, fucking blueberry. That is abominable.
Brown sugar cinnamon and apple currant jelly.
Wow.
Right?
And that's high class.
And then 3 years later, they like got the memo that frosting might be able to withstand the toaster.
Oh, they got the frosting memo.
Yeah. And so then they introduced Dutch apple, Concord grape, raspberry, and brown sugar cinnamon.
Concord grape.
Interesting. Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah.
Like eating grape juice.
Like Welch's eating grape juice. Yeah.
Anyway, today, frosted strawberry is still the most popular, followed by brown sugar cinnamon. We're going to eat both of them today.
Yeah, I already bit the strawberry, and I feel guilty about it because Molly then looked at it and gave me a look like, why did you bite that already?
Yeah. Anyway, so there ends my... Actually, I have one little bit of history coming up soon, but we can discuss it in a second. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Now, Molly, you always want to look your best around the holidays, right?
I kind of want to look my best all the time.
Of course you do.
But especially around the holidays, because I don't know, it seems like if ever there were a time that you're going to get like dressed up or wear something that's, you know, just a little special, you want to look good.
Well, I have an idea for you. How about if you go to thirdlove.com, where we are now offering 15% off your first purchase?
Wait a minute. Are you kidding? This is brand new.
Oh, this is absolutely new. And my wife, Lori, got in some new stuff from Third Love recently.
You texted me. You were like, it looks so good.
Yeah, I believe.
I could hear you like panting through the phone.
Yeah, you had to like I drooled on the phone and somehow it came through in the text. Yeah. So she got the Third Love lace push-up.
Okay.
And the Third Love seamless cami.
Ooh.
Both of them fit beautifully. They're super flattering. They fit right on the first try because she did the online fit finder.
Do you think that they would look great for a special holiday getup?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe not the cami.
Okay. Like, okay, but the push-up
in and of itself,
bra.
But yeah. Oh yes, for sure.
Yeah, way to make a holiday party, Lori.
Okay, so if you want to make your holiday party special for everyone involved, go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk and upgrade your holiday style with a perfect fitting Third Love bra.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
Get that 15% off. This is not going to be a very satisfying observation because I don't know what the product is. But you know how sometimes when you check out at the supermarket, they print, you get like a register coupon that spits out, like, you know, come back and buy more of this thing you bought or try this new product.
Mm-hmm.
I got one for a new product called Kellogg's Breakfast Flats.
Wow. Is it a shoe?
I think it's a shoe that you eat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just tasted the strawberry frosted one. You know, when you get the outer edges of it, that's like only the pastry and not really the filling, it's just kind of a like a cardboardy experience.
Now, that's interesting that you say that, because my daughter Iris saw that there were a bunch of Pop-Tarts around, and I don't know if she's ever had a Pop-Tart before, but she's like, can I have one of those for breakfast? And so I said, okay, and I toasted one for her. I think it was strawberry, and she picked it up, and she said, is this food or cardboard?
Yeah, no, it's it is like flavorless.
Yep.
Wow.
But I think this strikes me as, and like no offense to Pop-Tart fans, like there are plenty of junk foods that are no better or worse than Pop-Tarts that I'm totally into. But it seems like this is a thing that they came up with in the 60s, and like this was the best they could do with the technology of the time, mm-hmm. and then they couldn't change it because people fell in love with it the way it was.
Okay, I just tasted the world's second favorite, the brown sugar cinnamon, which is basically like, I think Kellogg was like, can we take the flavor of a cinnamon roll, cram it between two pieces of cardboard, and punch people in the face with that flavor?
Hmm.
So, Ash,
I like that one better.
My
I think.
Partner says this one is her favorite. I mean, I think that this, like, there's something about the cardboard flavor goes better with the cinnamon and the brown sugar than it does with strawberry.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I like this one better. You know which one I really like is this one over here that's round and yeasted. And
we still have a bagel from our bagel episode here.
Okay.
Okay. So wait, what is so?
So I got chocolate fudge here mm-hmm. and the Trader Joe's strawberry that I wanted to compare, because I felt like, remember how good the Trader Joe's animal crackers were? Mm-hmm. It seemed like this was a category of food where maybe Trader Joe's could do a better job. I don't know.
The chocolate fudge is, it's like they took a brownie, like a box brownie, but like not a very good box brownie.
Right.
And put it inside
a cardboard.
Two pieces of cardboard.
But this is brown cardboard rather than pale cardboard.
You know, I usually don't taste things and go, ooh, that's so sweet, because I love sugar and I love candy and stuff like that. These are like, oh my God, so sweet.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if you like check the historical record of this show, we both probably say that a lot.
We do.
I don't know.
Ooh, this, you know, this Trader Joe's brand one.
It has a good heft to it.
It's got a heft to it. Like, it actually has like some strawberries inside.
Like just whole raw strawberries.
Wow. The cardboard is even more cardboardy.
I mean, it definitely has much more fruit flavor. I don't know. I kind of like it.
God, it's so dry.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
So.
Why? Ugh.
So where do you think Pop-Tarts are going in the future?
Hold on. Can I?
Yeah, bring it
can
on.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
In 1992, a man named Thomas Nangle, rhymes with dangle.
You say rhymes with dangle?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sued Kellogg after his Pop-Tart got stuck and caught fire in the toaster. 2 years later, a Texas A&M University professor performed an experiment showing that when left in the toaster too long, strawberry Pop-Tarts could produce flames over a foot high.
But only strawberry?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Did he just like stop his experiment there? Like, ooh, this is too dangerous? Or was he like, hey, let's try brown sugar cinnamon?
I'm pretty sure if your experiment involves setting toasters on fire, you never want to stop.
So
maybe the authorities stepped in, like the human subjects division.
So in 2001, the Air Force sent Afghanis aid in the form of Pop-Tarts and herb rice, whatever that is. Is that like rice-a-roni or something? Herb rice. Two words, both capitalized.
Sure.
Quote, promote goodwill, according to
Wikipedia. I think it's Condoleezza Rice's husband.
They sent him.
They sent him to promote goodwill.
With a whole lot of Pop-Tarts. To promote goodwill. Yeah. Goodwill, the secondhand store.
Yes. Which is anyway, a good place to get a used Afghan.
Anyway, I just feel like, oh my God, if this is what we sent to promote goodwill, like to the civilians of a country that we were pummeling.
I mean, another way to promote goodwill is to stop pummeling.
Yeah.
I mean,
what
not
about
to
pommel
get political.
Horsing, though? I mean, you can pommel.
I love the pommel horse. I love watching that. It's so cool. How do you feel about the pommel horse?
Oh, my God. I really enjoy watching, like, competitive gymnastics, period.
I like the pommel horse because it's such a ridiculous implement. Like,
yeah.
It's just a thing to, like, just
that
go
you, like,
crazy and rub yourself
over.
All over. And I love that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Matthew, Oh my God, I made a Pop-Tarts flavor quiz and then left it at home.
Oh no, it's not on the Google or something?
No, I wrote it in a notebook at my house.
You wrote it in a notebook?
I wrote it in a notebook that I always carry with me. And today I was like, oh, I don't need that tote bag.
Okay, can we do it next time?
Yeah.
I don't want to miss out on this.
Well, yeah. Can we like splice it in after the fact?
It depends when we record it. So let's make a plan to do this because I really want to take this.
It was a really good flavor quiz.
I believe you. And you've never given me a quiz before,
have
you? I know,
and I was so excited.
Yeah, okay. So I'm very sad now, and I'm looking forward to this.
Okay.
And we will do it. We won't leave people hanging.
Okay.
Let's talk for a minute about toaster strudels, shall we?
Yeah.
So are you familiar with the toaster strudels frozen product?
No.
Okay, I have some, and I'm going to make one now.
Oh, God, wow. I didn't see this coming.
As I remember, oh, yeah, you've just been punked. Right. Except for this part where it says the emergence of toaster strudels. it sounds like they're breaking out of from inside Pop-Tarts like aliens.
I thought maybe you were just referring to Pop-Tarts as toaster strudels.
Oh, no. So,
although I did see that you capitalized
toaster
them.
Strudels. As I recall, and this may be a false memory, as I recall, the whole ad campaign for toaster strudels was Pop-Tarts are bullshit, buy this instead. So let's see.
Okay, this does look more like a product that was made by human hands.
Uh-huh, which it wasn't.
It also has this kind of like greasy looking
dough.
Oh,
yeah, that frosting is also melting in a peculiar way. I like how on the front of the package it says great as a snack, as if you wouldn't have thought of this.
Yeah. Well, I think they're trying to say it's not just for breakfast. I don't want to eat this. God, the frosting is really, how is it?
It's delicious.
Really?
Yes.
Is it hot?
It's fine. I mean, it's not as good as a homemade bagel, but it's good. Molly has just eaten her first toaster strudel.
That is kind of delicious.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys just buy these and keep them around?
No, we'll buy them as a special treat. It's a sometimes food, as Cookie Monster taught us.
Oh, boy.
Can you sense the anticipation in the room? It tickling my tummy.
So do you always get strawberry flavor?
Pretty much. There's also a strawberry cream cheese flavor that's pretty good. Raspberry, also tasty.
Have you ever made that like smiley face that's on the package?
No, this is a new thing. They didn't used to have a smiley face on the package, but now they do.
Did it used to have like cross hatching of squiggles?
It used to have cross hatching of squiggles, yeah.
Like herringbone squiggles.
Yeah, herringbone pattern.
Chevron.
It had paisleys. It had chenille.
Do you remember when paisley was really in?
What, in like 1973?
No, like in the 80s. Like I had like a skirt that had paisley on it. It was a paisley skirt.
I think in the 80s I had no concept at any time of what was in or out.
What do you think Prince was thinking when he named his like compound Paisley Park?
I guess he was thinking paisleys were in. I mean, I think whatever Prince decided was in was the thing that was in.
Are they paisleys or is it paisley?
I think it's both. I think like an individual little, where do they come from? Where?
They look like amoebas.
I was going to say
they're like
whales.
Doing like autophagy. What is that, where they eat themselves?
What? Wait, amoebas eat themselves?
No, but what is isn't autophagy a term or like?
I think it is, but I mean, it would mean like self-eating. Are you thinking of autophilatio?
No. No, I'm thinking of the...
Well, you are now.
I'm thinking of like the phagy, P-H-A-G-Y.
Oh, as sounding like paisley?
Well, no, I'm thinking of it in terms of like amoebas. Don't they do something with phagy?
Well, I mean, every organism does something with phagy.
We just phagied some toaster.
We just phagied the hell out of this toaster strudel. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Matthew, this holiday season, you should give yourself the gift of a perfect-fitting bra with Third Love.
Would it be okay if I gave my spouse the gift of a perfect-fitting bra?
Yes. You and your spouse are one now.
Oh yes.
United.
We're legally one entity.
Yes.
It's a new thing that's probably very bad. However, anyway, here's something that's very good. You can get 15% off your first purchase at thirdlove.com by going to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
Do you have any, like, 13 more facts about Pop-Tarts, or is that it?
No, that was it.
Okay. So, Molly's book, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Pop-Tarts But Were Afraid to Ask, a 987-page tome, will be out from Phaidon in time for Christmas. You can... I got a toaster strudel in my throat. Take it away, Molly.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where you can, I don't know, why don't you tell us about Phagey?
Okay.
And you can also...
Phagebook.com.
You can also find us on Instagram, where we are Spilled Milk Podcast.
We are also spilledmilkpodcast.com on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, we will not be posting any recipes for today's...
No, we'll probably post a photo of a half-eaten Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show that eats itself and you can't have any.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amsterburn.
So, Matthew, this is the first time I've ever given you a quiz.
I know. I'm very excited. We're standing here on Pike Street in Seattle because we forgot to do this the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. I left my notebook that I had written this quiz down. I'd left the notebook at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this
is a very good story there.
Thanks. So this is a Pop-Tarts flavor quiz, Matthew. Okay. So as you know, with the quizzes, I will be saying a flavor name, and you have to tell me whether it's true, whether it's real or fake.
Okay. It's a name like Jason or... Sue.
Exactly. Okay. Red Velvet.
Real.
Yeah. A&W Root Beer.
I want it to be real, but I think fake.
No, it's real.
Oh,
it's
my real. God.
Fried Green Tomato.
Do you think all of these are available on eBay, like with the date long expired?
No. The ones that are real here, I actually got off the Kellogg's website.
Yeah,
so
but
it's not even like they're expired. You can get them, Matthew.
Oh, these are current ones that are available.
Yeah, the real ones that are in this list are current.
Oh, I thought you were including like special editions.
No, these are current. Wow. These are current. Okay, Fried Green Tomato.
Fake.
Yes, fake. Banana Smoothie.
Oh, real.
Fake.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, but it might be like that squishy packet we had.
Squishy packet. Oh, the like on the baby food.
Yeah, the smoothie thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing. Okay, Wildlicious Wild Berry.
Definitely real.
Pop Your Lid Peach.
Wait. Was I right about
that? Yeah, you're right. Pop Your Lid Peach.
I was sure you were going to say pop your something else. Real.
Fake. God. Okay. Hot Fudge Sundae.
Fake.
Oh, it's real.
How is that different from chocolate fudge?
I don't know, but it's different.
It has a cherry on top?
It's different. Okay. Vanilla latte.
Oh, please say that's real. I want that.
It is real.
Okay.
It is real. Shoe fly pie.
I have no idea what shoe fly pie is. I'm just realizing this now. I'm going to say fake.
It's fake.
Do you know what shoe fly pie is?
Isn't it like a sugar custard pie?
I mean, that sounds... believable, but
like
I really don't
I'm
know
I'm imagining
what
it like the gooey part of pecan pie without the pecans in it.
That is sort of what I was imagining, too.
Okay,
so.
I'm sure we're right then.
Yeah.
Yeah, if both of us thought it, we're definitely right. Okay, Jolly Rancher Green Apple.
Oh, real.
Yeah, it's real. It's real.
That would be bad. I love a Green Apple Jolly Rancher. I do
know.
Not want it in Pop-Tart form.
No, I imagine the green as being truly, like, lurid.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to say lurid.
I bet you've said it before.
Maybe.
I mean, you've been it before.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, there you have it. I think that you got more of these wrong than I expected.
It also says oyster on your sheet. Oyster roasted chili butter. I would eat that.
This
Pop-Tart.
This is a menu for a dinner we're doing at the restaurant.
Albacore crudo. I'm going to say real. All right.
Crab on pizza. Real.
Oh, so it's like a pizza on the inside with the crab frosting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be doing all future episodes here on the street. See you next time.
Okay.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.